Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And we begin this week with a study from Pastor Brian Parrish, taking us on a verse-by-verse study through Joshua chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, looking at the power of God. So let's join Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3. This afternoon, what I'd like to speak to you is on the subject of the power of God. And if you would please follow along in your Bibles as I pick it up at Joshua chapter 3 and start at verse 8, and we'll read through verse 10. The Lord says this to Joshua: "You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you have come to the edge of the water, the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan.' So Joshua said to the children of Israel, 'Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God.' And Joshua said, 'By this you shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites and the Mosquito Bites.'" All of them are going to go. Now, as we come to this portion of Scripture, I want to focus on God's power in driving out the enemies of God's people. For Joshua, it was seven different nations that were entrenched in the land that had been there for years. But if Joshua and the nation of Israel was going to come into the fullness of the blessing, they needed to be in that land where those people were. So God had to drive out those people that were entrenched there. It was going to take God's power to bring that about. And although today we're involved in a battle, it's not a physical battle against nations. It's a spiritual battle. We wage warfare against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and yet God says in his word that he's given us victory over all those as well. So any enemy that we may have, God is greater, and he's given us greater battle to walk in victory. Just as God wanted to bring victory to Joshua and his people, God has given us victory in Jesus Christ today. I believe we need to know what that victory is. We need to know what belongs to us in Jesus Christ, what God has promised to us, so that we could examine our life based on what the word of God teaches. But here for Joshua, God's going to drive out all the enemy, bring him into that place of blessing. Now it's unfortunate, the Lord did say that he's going to drive them all out without fail. On his part, God was able and willing to do that. The nation of Israel failed through compromise or through walking in their own understanding, and they never were able to drive out all these nations. There was always these remnants that were able to survive, and those remnants of people began to continue to plague Israel all through their existence as a nation. And those actually became the downfall of the nation of Israel, because their influence, these ungodly nations, eventually took greater influence on the nation of Israel than the godliness, and then God had to drive Israel off the land as well. So because they weren't able to drive out all the enemy, those little pockets of compromise stayed. And what the Lord said, as you go into that land, don't do what they do, because the land, he says, literally is vomiting these people out. They are so sinful that they're destroying the land, and if God allowed them to exist, every generation after that would have been born a sinful generation and basically destroying themselves. So God says, I'm going to clean the land, I'm going to wipe these people out, drive them out, I'm going to start afresh with God's people. Unfortunately, Israel never came into the fullness of that, and there are reasons why, which we'll be able to see as we go through the book of Joshua, so we could avoid them. But I think there's an interesting parallel with many believers' life. God promises victory in Christ. God says that we have victory over the passions of the flesh, and we're no longer slaves to sin. And there's promises that God's given to us, but oftentimes many believers don't walk in the fullness of those blessings because they don't understand that they're there, or they just don't believe that they're truly given to each and every child of God. That's what I want to address. Then also Wednesday night, I want to continue on what I'm talking about tonight on the power of God to deliver from sin, and then begin to pray for people and ask God to touch many people's lives. So I encourage you to come out Wednesday as well, as we will have a time to pray for this particular issue. Also, I encourage you to fast. Fast getting your own heart prepared, fasting for others, whether on Wednesday or somewhere between now and Wednesday, that service, we would know that the Lord is among us and he is touching people's lives and setting free and bringing deliverance to people that so they could walk in the victory that's given to us in Jesus Christ. So I'm expecting great things from the Lord and his power being manifest in people's lives this Wednesday, and I hope you come with that same expectancy. Well, to break this down and looking at the power of God, I want to talk about three aspects of it. One from verse 8, one from verse 9, and one from verse 10. So a real simple outline. Now, we're going to experience the power of God. The first principle is we must have the presence of the Lord. It's going to take the presence of God to bring in his power. Look at verse 8. It says, "You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan." And what God told Joshua is send the priests out ahead, and as soon as their feet touch the water, the Jordan's going to part, and then everybody's going to be able to walk across on dry lands. And he sent the Ark of the Covenant out there because that was not just a religious symbol. It wasn't just a box with religious implements in it. It represented to the people the very presence of God in their midst. God said, "I will cause my name to dwell there between the angels that were there upon that Ark of the Covenant." So he's going to manifest his glory, he's going to manifest his name, his presence was going to be among the nation of Israel. So it took the presence of God, people trusting in God's power and might, to wipe out the enemy as well as part the Jordan here. And the same is true for us. There's a familiar passage of Scripture which says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." It's one thing to hear that, but it's another thing to live that out. That takes, I believe, a lifetime of learning how to rely upon the power and presence of God and not relying upon ourselves. And that is not something that's simply done. It's like that scripture in the New Testament that says if we'd walk by the Spirit, I could say it, if we walk by the Spirit, we would not carry out the desires of the flesh. And we've heard that over and over again, but then we have to ask, well, how do you walk by the Spirit? Well, it's not just something you do instantly. It's something that God has to teach us, to train us, to learn how to be filled with the Spirit, to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a process that goes on. So if you're going to walk in the liberty that the Lord's given to you, it's not going to be by your effort to say, okay, I'm not going to do these things anymore. These are the things I'm going to do. You need the power and presence of the Lord. Jesus said, apart from me, you could do nothing. Now, it's interesting, later on with the Ark of the Covenant, when Israel went out to battle, when they were in a sinful state, they were worshiping idols, they went out and they battled the Philistines, and they lost. And they came back, they scratched us, and they said, well, why did we lose? They said, well, we didn't bring out the Ark of the Covenant. If we have the Ark, then surely we could win. So they sent out the Ark of the Covenant, and they went out to battle, and they lost to the Philistines. Not only did they lose the battle, the Ark was taken away from them. And that was that story about Ichabod, the glory has departed. And so these people use it as a religious symbol. Was supposed to represent God's presence among them, that the power to part the Jordan and to drive out the enemies, but they use it in a religious way, kind of like a good luck charm. And what I need to share with you is if you're going to walk in the freedom that Jesus Christ has, you can't play at church. You can't play at Christianity. You can't come to church just thinking, well, I go to the building or I have this belief in God. You cannot use this church as a religion and thinking somehow it's going to rub off and I'm going to get better and better. It's not going to happen. You need a living, present relationship with the Lord God Almighty, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to walk in the freedom and the power of the Holy Spirit and the freedom from the bondage of sin. The only way to walk in victory is through God's power and through God's might. And there needs to be a seriousness of your walk if you're going to experience all that God has for us. Peter tells us that God's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So there's no reason that we should be living in bondage to sin, in any addictions. We've been freed from that power, and everything that we need is in the presence of Christ, in the presence of the Spirit. And that's not going to happen, you being filled with the Spirit, by just coming to church and using, you know, going, maybe it's this church or some other church, going through these religious rituals. It has to be a vital relationship with the living God. And his Spirit fills you and fills you with power and might and strength to overcome the things that we will face. That's what Joshua and his people needed. That's what we need today. It's only by God's power that could demolish the strongholds and the areas of sin that captivate us through his strength and his might. But what I want you to see today, so I want you to see that power is available for you to walk in the liberty that Christ Jesus has given to us.